Eric, how are you, man?
Hey, Charles, I'm good. I literally risked my life, you know, to come here. Look at this, you know.
What happened?
Actual, hurt, you know, yes.
What happened? First aid kit.
I cleaned it off. Now I ran here to get, because it's in a different building.
Uh-huh.
Then I was, you know, in the studios, because that's where we normally do the Channel
9s. Uh-huh.
And this great weather, maybe you can kind of show the, you know, look at this.
No, don't.
It's like we're in a car wash.
Yes, we are. It's really bizarre.
It'll be much better.
And so I ran and I slipped and my face was literally covered with mud. I hope there's no MSRA bacteria in there that my face will disappear.
Wow.
Who knows?
Look, guys, we're trying to attract people to
Seattle. Yeah, it's reverse selling.
The weather's getting it out of its system. It'll be fine in April.
Oh, yes. Yes. April's
beautiful.
Wonderful.
So now what's going on in April and who are these special guests, man?
Yeah. So, let them introduce themselves. Let's start here.
I'm Donna Malieri.
Yes, exactly. Look at that. So, I'm you know, look at this. I'm jealous.
Yes.
And when I met you many years ago, you already had your hair like that. And it's like
I think it was blue back then.
Yes, but I had a little bit more, but you know, I was like...
Wow.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, everyone always remembers me when they meet me because of my hair. But anyway, we were talking about the conference, Lang.next, and I'm Donna Malieri. I'm the program manager on F Sharp, and I'm the speaker chair for Lang.next. And Mads here is the conference chair, organizer.
Let's call it that. Yeah, we have official titles.
Yeah.
What is your very important
title? Yeah, title.
So, when I'm not doing this, I'm doing C Sharp. I'm a PM for C Sharp.
Of course.
C Sharp language.
You're designing language features for C Sharp.
At least I try to organize the people.
Like the beautiful new async await stuff.
Thank you.
I love that. It's like I cannot understand, you know, how could I've lived without that for so many years.
I feel the same.
Yes. Oh, it's like taking, like, you know, whatever, Vicodin or something. It's like Vicodin programmers.
And there will be a talk about it.
Okay, good. There will be a talk about it
in April at Lang.next.
Dun, dun,
which is the thing we're really supposed to talk about.
So that's right.
But this is Channel 9.
Show me there.
We have some great speakers. We have over 20 talks scheduled. And we have, the keynote will be by Martin Odersky, who's the creator of Scala. Mm-hmm. We also have Gilad Braca, who is now at Google and working on Dart. Mm-hmm. We have William Cook.
Will he wear his costume?
What costume is that?
The Darth Vader costume that he had, well, had a go-to. When they announced Dart.
Don't remember
Darth
that.
Darth Vader.
Yes.
Come over to the Dart side.
Yes.
Wow.
Very clever.
That's
bad. That's Gilad for you.
Yeah. It's the first time I've seen him in a costume, though.
Yeah, well, he usually wears suits.
That is kind of a costume.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So, we also have Walter Bright and Andre...
Alexandrescu?
Yes, thank you for saying that. And just a couple of panels, so it should be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we have also a good mix of, what I really like is a good mix of academic people,
people
from, you know, industry, more like, you know, users, and like a mix of languages, you know, from native to experimental. For example, the guys from Berkeley are here, from, you know, the Bloom Group, that are doing kind of crazy stuff with, you know, like logic programming for, you know, the 25th century. It's really super exciting.
Excellent. So Language Geek Fest. That's great.
Yeah,
It's important to note here that, you know, a big majority of the talks are non-Microsoft. It's really a cross-industry and attendees as well. Like, it is a cross-industry event. Mm-hmm. It's just that...
That's also why it's called, Lang.next.
It used to be Lang.net. There's been this... This event has been there for years. It started out as a place where people who implemented languages on .NET would meet and talk about that.
That's how I got hired into Microsoft, actually. Because
really?
Of that. Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Look how great it is. You'll all get hired into Microsoft. but we didn't really feel the .NET thing was appropriate as a tag for this anymore because, you know, only a little bit of the content is about .NET. So we stuck the X in there, and now it has all this beauty to it, and
absolutely, and you kept the brand and without actually changing it.
Yes,
which is a good thing.
And
to do.
And really, the goal is, like, as you said, it's a language geek fest, right? Mm-hmm. We're just, you know, like, language people are completely, they're religious about their language, but not religious about, like, you know, what platforms or whatever. So they always kind of have a lot of fun together talking about, like, you know, their passion.
Excellent.
And you know, there will be a lot of good talks, but I would also tell everybody, go into the kitchens, because there often the most interesting discussions take place.
So, and on that note, yes, logistics this year, we have two big rooms,
yep,
and one of them is set up for talks, you know, chairs and rows, and somebody up front telling something insanely interesting, and there'll be content all the time in there. Mm-hmm. But we right next door we have the lounge, which is cool, which has round tables, and you know, it's a place you can definitely, you can go in there and just, you know, charge your laptop and read email, whatever, but it's really where you can go and have discussions and hang out and do all the informal stuff and all the mingling and and those kinds of things.
Meet all those famous people that you've heard of.
Exactly. You know, sit down with your lunch and all that. So really try to emphasize the informal space as well, and this aspect of going to a conference like that.
Yeah, so we expect that at least like 3 new languages will be conceived and born here, you know.
And implemented.
Yes, and implemented. Yeah,
in that would be over the weekend.
Yeah, over the weekend. Yeah.
It's 3 days.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, didn't JavaScript, that was like, is it 7
it
days?
2 weeks.
Two weeks or something like that.
Well, so Patrick Dassault said he wrote a JavaScript garbage collector over the weekend.
Exactly. How hard can it be?
It's not that hard.
Why? How hard can it be, Matt?
I haven't quantified how hard it can be. We can work on it.
And we have a JavaScript talk, actually. Luke Hoban will be giving a talk on ECMAScript 6.
Harmony, right?
Harmony.
Nice. That's the name of the...
Oh, is that the name of the code? Oh, 7?
I'm just trying to keep track of that.
But that's
it's the thing that runs in every browser.
Well, the latest version. He's on the committee, and he'll be giving his perspective on that.
That's awesome. I know they're doing some cool things. Apparently, modules are going to get in or something.
Yeah, pretty exciting.
Really, classes even.
Yep.
Yeah, they're talking about it.
Very, very cool.
They still have to agree on exactly how to do it and so on.
So JavaScript will become a real language then?
I think that's sort of the long-term plan.
That should be a panel topic. Why does something have to be object-oriented to be a real language? Why does it have to be so rigorous?
Well, it is object-oriented, though. It does have objects, so...
As prototypes.
Right, and that is still object-oriented.
You're right. You're totally correct. Now, good point. So what I would like to ask now is the following question. When you planned to get these speakers, what was going through your minds? Like, how did you arrive at where we are today with this great list of very different speakers?
Well, first, what was going through my mind is, who do I know? but beyond that, we actually got a little program committee together within Microsoft of people from, you know, our different languages. We have a ton of languages here, right? And so people who are involved in the language space, C++, JavaScript, Visual Basic, F#, and C#, and so on. Mm-hmm. Just got a little set of people together who know people, and we brainstormed, and we contacted a number of people, and it's just a collaborative effort, really, trying to get at breadth, getting at as many different kinds of things that we could, both in terms of the languages being different, the backgrounds of people being different, you know, academia or industry and so on. Just trying to get colors of the rainbow.
Yeah. Beautiful. I would also say, like, you know, it's also very much about who we didn't know. So if you look at the program, there's like an enormous diversity of languages and of people. And that, I think, makes it super interesting because, you know, if you just do it for the people that you know, then you never learn. So I think for everybody, there will be something in there that they've never heard about or that will blow their brains out. So
absolutely.
Bring your helmets.
Well, that's great. You know, one of the things that I'm really excited about this particular event is the fact that you invited, like you said, a nice wide range and included natives, native developers, and native program designers.
Yep.
Because in years past, we always would lean towards the Javas and the C-sharps and Scalas.
Especially
and
when it was
like
.NET.
Exactly. So thank you so much for doing that. I think it's going to make for some really interesting conversations.
It's not a charity.
Oh, yeah,
it's not a charity, you know.
That's true. It is self-serving.
We invite them because they're interesting.
Yes.
Yes.
I understand, but... And, you know,
but we're just smart, and we invited the right people.
There you go.
That's the bottom line.
I hope we can have conversations like you don't have on Lambda the Ultimate, where it's only if you ever want to talk about anything native, you just get destroyed. So it's going to be fun to see.
So why are you bashing Lambda the Ultimate?
I'm not bashing.
Because are they taking away traffic from Channel 9 or something?
No, he says they need to be a little bit more open-minded.
Okay.
Because it seems to me the language designers, as you said, they tend to be very dogmatic.
Yeah.
And just as language users are very dogmatic, right? I mean, people who use a language every day are going to be dogmatic about. So
I don't actually believe that. But
you don't. You don't believe that?
No. I don't believe. I think
what about
most
religious wars over syntax?
Well,
Oh, no,
David Golan is a Terminator.
Those are the designers and a very vocal but small percentage of the users. I think most users are very pragmatic about language. Okay. People who actually make a living from developing in languages, they're
That's
very
true.
Pragmatic about
yes.
it.
Yes.
That is true.
And so you're saying it's designers that are dogmatic?
I think there's way too much dogmatism in language design, yes.
Sure. Interesting.
Yeah.
It's entertaining.
And it shall be entertaining too.
Absolutely.
Lang.next will be entertaining.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So another thing I think, you know, to go back to the kind of history,
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, if you look back, say, 15 years ago, I think like Bertrand Meyer calls that the kind of, you know, the nuclear winter of Java, right? I think at a certain point there was very kind of, you know, very few new languages that were created and kind of were born. But now, I think, you know, if you look now, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the life of a language designer or developer is fantastic. It's like you look around and every day there's new and interesting languages kind of being created and discussed. And I think there's a renaissance of languages and definitely also a renaissance of native code.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a big deal because of the, you know, like small devices and so on, where, you know,
right.
it's a little bit expensive to run your, you know, heavyweight VM. So people want to have like full control, so, and it's great. And, you know, on the other hand, in the browser, you run JavaScript. It's, I think.
There's a new diversity at all levels.
Yes, exactly.
And that rubs off on languages as well.
Yeah.
And that is, it's very exciting times looking at, you know, the cloud, all these assumptions that we have in all our programming languages about, you know, actually not only being on a single box, but typically being on a single processor, there's so much under pressure, and how does that ultimately affect the abstractions that we have in our languages and so on? I think there's so much interesting.
Yes. I think with ManyCore, a lot of people thought that ManyCore would be a disruption, but I think we managed quite well, like with TPL and a lot of things, to kind of keep the programming model very similar to what we're used to. But now with the cloud, I think this will be a breaking point, I believe, because now you can really kind of just pretend that things are close by. And that's,
yep.
again, why you need asynchronous programming and things like that, because that's becoming super important. We cannot pretend that the world is synchronous anymore and small.
Mm-hmm.
It's big, distributed, heterogeneous, many different data types, untyped. Mm-hmm.
That kind of leads to the question of the other side of the problem, which are tools, not just the languages. So, I mean, are there going to be people here talking about, say, tooling as well? So runtimes, platforms, tools to use?
A little bit. The focus is definitely on the languages.
Sure.
Well, Dustin will be talking about the Reslin project, which is has a lot of great tooling built in.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be talking about F# type providers, which, in addition to being a language feature, give you great IntelliSense for any kind of schematized data source.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the perspective is still on the language,
right.
And then the tooling around it.
Excellent.
It's fun that languages didn't used to care about tooling at all. There
right.
wasn't any tooling, and now
Emacs.
toolability is a is a strong part of language design.
Yep.
It's one of the reasons why statically typed languages aren't dead yet, even though nobody depends, except in very specialized fields, on having strong guarantees and stuff. It's because when you press dot, you get a lot of suggestions that derive from the type system. It's
some
toolability.
People would argue that you don't need static types for that, but
we have
IntelliSense for JavaScript.
Well,
as Anders said, with the dynamically typed languages, you know, you can do some things in the IDE. You press dot, sometimes you'll get lucky. With static types, you always get lucky.
Yeah. But let's not have the war right here.
This is fun, for the panel.
Man.
Yes.
I mean,
but
it's all based on small talk, man, where the IDE was the language.
I mean, look, all ideas come from small talk, so and nothing new since small talk
can
was
we
invented.
Even the bad ones.
Yes. Excellent, guys. So we look forward to seeing a lot of great debate and really intelligent conversation and presentations, all of which will be on Channel 9.
Yes,
thanks to you guys.
All the talks will be on Channel
9,
and I suspect you will do a bunch of interviews as well during the conference.
But here we're talking to Eric right
here.
Yes.
UDEs,
brother.
Yes.
UDEs.
And if there's people in the audience that would like to be interviewed or kind of, you know, pitch their language and they don't have a talk, we can also kind of do a little interview.
Yep.
Excellent.
Right.
Great. Well, thanks for setting this up. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Looking forward.
Cheers.
Thank you.